the 365 Misses Centre show. Trying out NDI, so try and ignore Daniel's little tattoo in the top right-hand corner. We'll explain that later. Rolling the intro.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
The United States, it is a federal holiday today, the Labor Day. And I believe there's a holiday in Canada as well. There may be other countries, but yeah. So it is a holiday. I was not surprised that there were no updates today in the message center. You know, sometimes we get those that float in at the last minute. I was not surprised by that, that we didn't have any of those.
Well, happy Labor Day to you all. Those who are enjoying Labor Day. Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Have you got any plans for attending MS Ignite? Microsoft Ignite.
I do. Yep. I have plans. I have completely blocked my calendar, and I believe signed up to participate maybe. So more details on that later. But as far as part of Ignite, but I will be participating and partaking of the event. I've blocked it off on my calendar, so I'm terribly excited. How about you, Daryl? Are you participating?
I am. I think it's okay to say that I'm part of the crews of people that are managing table talks. Can't talk about the table talk yet, but that's all right. Just that I'm in. What I was doing as I was responding to someone at work was, they said, look, you're going to be available on these days. And I thought, I haven't really planned how I'm going to attend this. And the events or the sessions are in three bands, I would call it. So you've got a block of time that it's all live, and you've got keynotes, and you've got people doing sessions, and you've got community stuff going on and table talks and the like. And then it happens again a bit further in the day, and then it happens again to get our different three zones. So I'm going to be enthusiastically getting up at 3 a.m. to attend the live stuff.
Well, I will say the thing that I may be participating in is that is actually kind of toward the end of the event and has me getting up really early as well to participate in. Right. So anyway, everyone please block off your calendar because it's going to be awesome. Yep. I'm really looking forward to it.
All right.
It'd be fantastic.
So rocking in with our first update and our title update. Mm-hmm. Is what's this, Daniel? This is something to do with meetings and Teams.
Yes, it is Teams meeting participant report updates. So this is MC221432. Right?
Yeah, it is. So and funny. It's also the I'm not keeping to script, am I? Oh, well, we'll just swap those two around. This is not the title, people. We'll just stick with this
one. It is not the title. We'll stick with this one. Yeah. It's fine. So this feature, Teams meeting participant report updates. I'm a professional here. I can roll with this. This feature was first announced earlier this summer, winter for those in the southern hemisphere. It is including some, it allows you to download the attendee report, okay, from the Teams meeting, which is fantastic. The first thing I thought about when this came out was, this is wonderful because I lead my user group meetings, especially because of COVID, online, and I want to get a report of actually who showed up instead of having to sit there and watch the attendees. This is great. Well, it was announced. It has some flaws I have found, including some weird behavior. If someone has already left before you run the report, I often get this unknown. So you can get a whole report of a bunch of unknowns. But another item, part of this is kind of that you have to remember is that the feature is off by default and you have to turn it on with PowerShell. Well, this announcement is introducing two improvements to this feature that I think really are fantastic. So the biggest drawback I see with the current way of utilizing this report, of getting the report, is if you leave the meeting before downloading it, you don't get the report. You can't go back into the meeting and get the report. This update will put the attendance report in the meeting chat along with the meeting recording and transcript if you turn those on during the meeting. So that's great. So once the meeting is over, you still have access to getting that report and getting additional information, which is the second part of this update, that you will get additional information about your users, the ones that attended, not just their names. The report will now have how long they were in the meeting, which is great, because just because someone showed up doesn't mean they got the full information, right? That they were there at the beginning and heard what this meeting was about and all that. And they will have their email address will show up in that attendee report, as well as the title of the meeting and the start time, which is good if you bring in that report, say, to some sort of reporting like Power BI or something. You still will have to use PowerShell to turn this on. The new features, it'll be turned off. If you haven't turned it on in your tenant, it won't be on once these new features come along either. So you can go ahead and turn it on. The new improvements will start to roll out mid-September and complete by mid-October. I personally feel like most organizations, and I'd like to hear how you think, you know, what you think about this, Darryl, but I think most organizations should turn this on, that they should have this on, because it just, the functionality of just being able to figure out who was part of the meeting is so great. I think there are some organizations, and it seems like those type of organizations, the exceptions may be those that would turn off things like transcript. you know, maybe those organizations would go, maybe I don't want to have attendees report turned on. But what do you think about that?
Well, the first thing I think of with this feature is, and the timing that it became available, it's timely that it came for the beginning of the Northern Hemisphere US school year. So super useful for capturing that attendance of people coming into online classes that are using Microsoft Teams. And look, I've seen some, you know, there are some interesting videos out there of you know, how students have taken the mickey, so to speak, within some of these online classes. And one of the I would say very boring parts of attending a class, even in person, it was when people take the roles, like, yeah, present, okay, present, very good. You can skip that and just get on with the class, get on with work. Yeah, so I like that in terms of the education space. I think for corporate side, organization side, we don't take attendance for small collaborative meetings of 4 to 5 people. This will be when you're running meetings of 100, 200, and some of the new limits that are coming in now too, where you're just wanting to see, is anyone attending live? And in the interactive space of a meeting to receive this information. And that's really it, really. I mean, if you've attended, I can see you have.
Yeah, and I think for the most part, though, I think a lot of meetings, they take attendance in that they want to keep track of who was there when decisions were made.
Right.
And the way I have often done this, doing using OneNote, right, to take attendance for meetings and stuff, and just saying who was there, and so that we can go back and go, well, we made that decision back on July 15th, and I show that you were there.
Do you remember that really interesting feature they used to brag about back in Skype for Business? And I know this is a slight side note, but it's one of those things we've lost, where if you've linked the notes to the meeting, those participants were added automatically, remember?
Yes, I do remember. It was fantastic because you didn't really have to take roll. You saw who was invited and who showed up. Yeah. It was actually fantastic. I'd like to see that again with Teams, but anyway, so maybe this is the way, you know, we're doing that. But it really, I do feel like, especially in a long running project where you can make decisions 3 months ago and you really don't remember who participated, you know, who was there. Mm. So, you know, this really, even though many meetings within organizations might not utilize this to the full extent of, you know, tracking mm-hmm. who's attending. I feel like it still has a great place for organizations.
Yeah, yeah, true. Something I'll call out before we have a look at the next message. We've got those tags mm-hmm. back that I began to try and show you, but disappeared. So yes. At the top of the message, we see admin impact. It's a feature update, and it has an impact on users. So if we click over and close that, we'll see that column, labels.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you will see that coming soon.
Yeah. So, Daryl, tell us all about floating things.
Floating things. Floating things and floating consistency is one way to put it. Well, no, actually, it's not. It's not. I would consider the floating bar that we used to have within a Microsoft Teams meeting, it's now shifted to the top, right? It's there. So we're introducing floating call controls in Teams meetings. But this one is more in particular about Android and iOS phones and tablets. So this is MC221371. As the picture displays, and for those on the podcast, we see, gallery view? Not large gallery view, but it's a gallery view. Someone's holding their phone horizontally. You've got six tiles of people, and then you've got a few other people within the gallery that are down the side. And on the far right of your phone is the call controls. And the point is, they're trying to make it easier for you to get to these controls while you're in a call on your mobile, on your tablet. That they're not auto-hiding and disappearing, but always there and available to mute and unmute, I think, is the main reason that they have this always visible and available. And I think it's still true, too, of the desktop experience, having those controls always visible so that people can quickly mute and unmute. How about that self-aware social media chatter we're having with Teams and various other tags that they're making jokes about this very thing? Yeah,
and I feel, you know, we're all about consistency normally around here. It's about messages in particular, but it's also about other functionality. We've talked about consistency across Office apps, for instance, across mobile, desktop, and online. The one thing that I really don't like about Teams Mobile in meetings is this little bit of fumbling of trying to mute and unmute. Mm. Because when I'm on my mobile, I'm muted. Right? You very much have to stay, I feel like, because there's a reason I'm on mobile. It's I am not at my desk. Mm-hmm. So I may be in a noisy place. Yeah. I may be on the move. I may be, you know, whatever it is. So I need to stay muted and only talk when the opportunity is right. Well, I need that really close, and I don't need to tap and then mute, and maybe my tap is wrong. And so people are having to wait for me to unmute. Oh, well, I guess he's not going to talk. And then I jump in. Hey, you know.
Yeah.
So I really like it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So putting those controls there, they're always visible. It's consistent with your desktop experience. Not so much position, but definitely look and the fact that they're present. So this is going to be rolling out to respective stores. So remember, we're talking about a mobile update. It'll go to the Android and the Apple store beginning late September. Expect the rollout to be completed end of October. Do you need to update your user training? Not really. I mean, it's going to be there, right?
You might consider. I like that. You might consider.
Yeah, I'm considering it, and no, I'm not. Hey, everyone. It's there.
Yeah, I feel like I think people will kind of see what it is, and if they're using Teams on mobile, they're probably a little bit more advanced than some who would freak out about, oh my goodness, why is this ball up here? But I like this and I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
I wonder if the Teams team, if the product group gets, you know, frustrated with when they're like, oh, rats, we've got to release something to mobile. That means we got to wait on that, the store to approve it. And, you know, because they just roll stuff out all the time, right?
Well, what they could do is attach some kind of in-app purchase thing, but then make that external and then get themselves banned from the store.
Banned from the app store.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So if you want the power to mute, you've got to pay 20 cents a mute. but you'll do that through a different subscription. Yeah, no, no. Actually,
maybe unmute.
We'll talk about advanced communication subscriptions actually in our next one. In our next one. Because we do like to let people know that they're in a meeting and that they're attending something, Daniel. I can't think of a good segue here. Help me out.
You should have stopped talking before. Oh, like yeah, said advanced and whatever, you could have just
stopped. I should have. Right.
Anyway. Teams custom meeting images. This is our title for our episode. So Teams custom meeting images. This is MC221370. This update is all about creating custom branding for your meeting experience and specifically the meeting lobbies when people are joining and waiting to join. So starting in late September, Teams admins will be able to upload a custom logo to display to users as they wait in the meeting lobby. Two things I think are really important about this update. One, it does require the advanced communications add-on for Microsoft Teams, which is currently on my tenant, $12 US per user per month. Now, keep in mind, that's only for the meeting organizers that would need that license, not everyone. But if you don't have it, then that custom logo that was uploaded by your Teams admin would not show up in your lobby. There's a lot of additional features you get with advanced communications add-on for Microsoft Teams, which is
that's what I'd be interested in, because we sometimes see these additional things and we go, what else am I getting?
So now, right now, you get live event support for 20,000 participants, 50 concurrent events, and event duration of 16 hours per broadcast for those live events. You get compliance recording integration and contact center solution integration. That's ISV integrations. But coming is... an announcement that was earlier is the first of all, interactive Teams meetings for up to 1,000 participants if you have this add-on, not the 300.
And interactive and what meaning was, that you and I were in real time, and I'm not waiting 30 seconds to see stuff, and I can talk with you and come off mute.
I think, well, actually, that's the important bit, is that you can talk and you can actually present. The additional announcement that was last week or so was the introduction with the capability of enabling meetings, Teams meetings, not live events, Teams meetings of up to 20,000 attendees. Again, this is with advanced communications add-on, but once you get past the 1,000, so the 1,001 attendee up to 20,000, it's view-only meeting experience. And it's also weird because the meeting organizer can't see them, nor can they kick them out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a really odd experience with this view only meeting experience. And then the custom branded meeting lobby.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about today. The second bit that I think you need to keep in mind about this is it appears that this will be only one logo for your organization. Now, the Teams admin is uploading this custom admin logo in the policy section, so maybe you'll be able to do this in different policies, but we're not sure yet because we don't have the functionality. But right now, it does look like it's one logo. So, and it's not uploaded by users. Keep that in mind, it's admin. So why is this important, Daniel? I'm so glad you asked.
Why is it important, Daniel?
What about organizations that have different logos for different units? Then they don't even need to be multinational. They could just be different organizational units that are sharing the tenant, but they have different logos and their customers and their and I'll know them as that logo. Yeah. Well, when they join, they're going to possibly see the parent company logo and be a little confused. So we'll see if you can do this for, you know, policy management. You can do a logo per policy or something like that.
There's some school districts that share tenants, don't they? So you've got multiple schools using the same tenant. That's another example.
Yes, that's another example. So this could be interesting. I mean, in the grand scheme, is that terrible that they have to share a logo? Not terrible, but it's one of those, wow, if I'm paying $12 per user per month, you know, for this add-on, it sure would be great to have my logo rather than, you know, the corporate logo. Mm-hmm.
What do you think one of the main purposes for having that logo there in the pre-join and in the lobby?
I think it really is a branding thing, knowing that you're in the right meeting. Yeah. Knowing that, you know, you're not joining some random meeting, because, and this is another ding on Teams that they just have not solved yet, is this really long URL for Teams meetings. It is ridiculous. And they really need to catch up with other services where, you know, there's other services where it's kind of long, but it's only like a 8-digit code that you really need to know. With Teams, it's, this link is, you know, 200 characters long. Good luck telling somebody that over the phone. Well, here's the URL, you know, just go to this. But anyway, I think that's kind of the thing, is I want to know I'm in the right meeting.
And along with that, that's a soft security feature in a sense, knowing that you are in the right meeting, knowing that you're in the right space, mm-hmm. that you're going to conduct yourself in the appropriate manner. You should anyway, but you know what I mean.
Well, yes. So, yeah. You know, speaking of mobile, no, I mean, we really didn't. See, this is me trying to transition.
Yeah, no, it's about as smooth as mine this
as
morning.
As what you did. Yeah. Yes. So what about minimum iOS system requirements?
Well, that's a hard one to segue with. It's like, so yes, I was talking the other day about my watch and I realized that, no, never mind. So we failed it at segues, but just to be blunt. This update, change to minimum iOS system requirements for Outlook, for iOS and watchOS. It's a bit of a mouthful to say, isn't it? But with iOS updating soon and shortly, there'll be some minimum requirements for supporting Outlook on the watch and on the phone. So we are going, currently iOS 14 and looking to update to 15 as the sequence usually goes, but the older versions of course will drop off, so 12 is going to be support for 12 is going to be removed. It's interesting they mention watchOS as well as iOS. So watchOS versions 6 and 7 will only be supported for Apple Watch. I don't really use Outlook on the watch, but some of you may do. It's okay for integration. The key thing is that it's a security measure too, right? As we're moving forward with versions of different OSs for our mobile platforms, and in Apple's case, this case here, it's about making sure that the feature set is going to match the OS set that's going to meet the security requirements. And I always look at these sorts of updates and these sort of announcements and think, who's still on iOS 12 and why? And because age of the phone?
Yes.
It's got to be that,
age of
right?
the phone.
Yeah.
It is. And because I have a use case where, if you've got like an iPhone 6 or something, it can't update to the latest and further. You know, if you have an iOS
5 something, 5S,
I want to say like 4S or something, right. You can't go past 9.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they won't, and I don't like this, but this is Apple's way. This is how they make you buy new stuff, is they won't let you update to a new OS for all of their hardware.
And I'll just throw in there just to be like, because I've been using Apple for a bit. But at least they support it for so long.
Oh, yeah, they support it for all of you know, 2 years.
Aww. So the change occurring, let's see, it is, where is the date on this thing? Well, I guess it'll just happen when they update, of course.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. So we usually hear about that.
We don't have a date.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we don't have a date because they don't know when that when exactly it'll be
the
released.
The pattern usually follows that, you know, they announce the new iPhone, they release the new OS. It's interesting too, like when we're traveling and we're going to MS Ignite, we usually have the new version of the OS and everyone's buzzing and playing around with that at Ignite as well. So interesting.
Yep.
Well, let's think of a classy segue here. I think you're going to react.
Speaking of, I've got it. No, speaking of iOS. Did you know that iPhone released emojis back in 2008?
Did they?
In Japan?
Did they?
Yeah, in Japan. It was the first in November of 2008. So 12 years ago, we had emojis on our phone.
Yeah, but emojis aren't the same thing we're about to talk about.
No, but they're very, very similar. Very similar. Very similar. But anyway, so this is introducing Yammer Reactions, MC221452. The new Yammer. You need to update the thing, Daryl, the screen, so
yeah,
people
who are
watching the video. Okay, there we go.
Just steady on with your reaction,
like,
there, Daniel. Come on now.
Yes. Introducing Yammer Reactions. The new Yammer is getting some emoji love. And I'm calling them emojis because that's what they are. Now, they're reactions, but they're emojis. Anyway, they're calling them reactions. These emojis are, and I am using the term used in the update, lightweight, quote unquote, I did for those on the audio podcast, and include like, love, laugh. Those are fun things. Celebrate, thank, and sad. So there's only one negative, so we gotta, you know, keep it positive. And even it's not angry, it's
yeah.
Sad.
Is that a thank? That looks like a clap.
It is a clap.
Yeah, which is like celebrate.
I think it's a clap. Right. You'll only be able to turn on the new Teams experience via the toggle at the top of your page to be able to see how people have reacted to your post. Mid-September, starting to roll out. End of September, should be done.
Right.
That's all I got on this one. I mean, it's not all I got, but it's all I'll say.
I mean, well, let's just say a little bit. It is something that you would expect to be in a social enterprise product or social product sooner than this. It's good that, you know, I can signify that, yep, celebrate or laugh. That's great. That's funny. This is where they differ a bit to emoticons because, you know, we've got, 300 of them. I forget how many. More than that, probably. But this narrows it down to a set, and you can see who reacted, how they reacted.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah, and it's the reaction of, I read your post. What am I going to do with it? I'm going to like it or, you know, whatever. So Facebook has... And other social media has had, you know, this, and we're kind of used to it. So your users are going to be used to this. That is training required? I don't think training was required, just letting people know that it's there. But, I mean, they do have to turn on the new Yammer experience to get it. But, I mean, people are going to know how to use this. They do provide a link on this post.
There is how to use.
And it's actually a... what looks like something that would be great in learning pathways to showcase reactions in the new Yammer, but it is all about how, and it kind of, you know, gives a description of each one. What does laugh mean? Well, this is for when a colleague shares a funny video or GIF.
Well, that's a good example. Yeah.
So what's sad?
They crack a funny like you just did.
Yeah. So what does sad mean, Daryl?
Sad is, let me find that because it's still a light reaction. It's not an angry face. It's actually, it's sad. The reaction, a coworker is posting about, the loss of a much loved pet. That is quite sad. We shouldn't be joking about that now, Daniel. I feel a bit bad about this.
Well, and then the other one is a colleague is leaving the organization.
Yeah.
Wow. Like,
I would be using that emoticon soon because we do have a team member who's leaving, but he doesn't use Yammer, so he won't see the reaction.
Well, then he won't get his sad.
No, that's sad. Anyway.
Anyway, so September, mid-September, yep. late September finish. So that should be rolling out really, really soon. So I think you will discover that really soon. Mm. Like you might discover other things.
Oh, well, right, I just discovered last update. Click. Found it.
Oh, really?
Yes. I appreciate that this update is probably... seems small on the outside, but read it. Updates to discover name feed in Outlook for iOS. That's MC221542. Discover is your little looking glass, magnifying glass. It's the middle button on Outlook, and you tap that to go and search for stuff. And over, I think, the last 6 to 12 months, I forget when they made the change, but they combined the people side of the app into this discover space, so you can find people, you can find recent documents, you can find messages. Don't know if you know this tip, and I'd only discovered it in the last few months too, but if you double tap that, it jumps up to the actual search box. So I used to just tap the search thing, whatever, and then tap into the field and then start typing. But if you double tap, you'll get your cursor into the search box. Anyway, enough of those tips. The reason that this—that's
good.
Tip. Yeah, the reason there's a bit more depth to this than it's not just about renaming a Discover feature, but there are some other things that are changing here. We've got changes in the Discovery feed itself, so users will be able to find interesting SharePoint news based on what colleagues are reading. SharePoint news has come into this space now, so. You don't have to have the SharePoint mobile app, though. You know, it might be a good reason to have it because it is quite a functional thing. But nice to see that if you're in and you're reading email, then you could go to the Discover page and you'll see a few hints as to SharePoint news that has been read by your colleagues and currently interesting or hot news. And what else have we got?
Discover. Or hot mess.
Sorry?
Or hot mess.
Could be.
Anyway.
So stay up to date with that. And in addition, it's access to recorded team meetings. I find that quite an interesting update there too. Like it's bringing it into one space and it's allowing you to access it and find it. Would you go there to find the team meeting recording? Or would you go into Teams?
I'm glad it's in both, right? But this is Outlook on iOS. Yep. Remember this, people. Mm-hmm. So I guess maybe if you're on your mobile and Teams, I would still probably want to go to Teams to see that recording.
Yeah.
Not in Outlook.
Well, I'll tell you why. And if we think about another change that's happened recently too, you have meeting insights where you're about to attend a meeting, you go into the appointment within your calendar, and you can start to see things like people's contact details, recent emails, maybe some recent attachments that are related to that meeting and that discussion thread. If this was a recurring meeting and you recorded frequently those meetings, then you're going to potentially see those recordings appear. So I think it's all part of keeping the meeting assets together and making it easy to find that content.
Yeah.
Because I don't go to... While I attend the meeting and I go into see recordings in Teams, where I manage and respond and check out what do I have next, I do that usually from Outlook, even though there's a calendar in Teams. Outlook is where it happens for me.
I agree. And the calendar in Teams is, there's some quirks about it that, because it has to sync, and sometimes you go into Teams calendar and stuff is not there that is in Outlook already. But I feel you, Daryl. Mm. I feel you right here, and that you're looking for meeting assets.
Yep.
So Outlook could be a great place for that.
Yep. Timing wise, the name will change in early October. The features. Changes to the Discovery feed will be early September, which is now too late September. Not so much interested in the name change. It's a magnifying glass to me. I don't look for the name for it. But those features are pretty cool.
Which, can I just say, you know, magnifying glass is find. I mean, that's in every, across the board, that's what it means. Mm-hmm. So renaming it to Discover, okay, whatever. But that may be a little confusing for your users. Just be aware of that, that that's, you might need to point out that that's what that is.
Well, the image isn't changing. And if I look at my phone, I don't think there's a word below Discover.
No, or is it? I don't think so.
So,
yeah. Great. I'm just saying, you know, if you're using, for instance, Microsoft training materials for Outlook,
there's to-do stuff,
and they change it to say Discover, click on the Discover icon.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what's the Discover icon?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's just
this name will change in the user training. If you're using Learning Pathways, the name will change in the training material automatically. You may want to let your users know that the training material is going to change. But yeah, thanks again for joining. We'll see you again next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.